Amen.
Mark chapter 16 in your Bibles. No, maybe you
have a Bible right there. I left it down there. If we get that first slide up, gentlemen, Mark chapter 16, if you are anything like me and someone says, turn to Mark chapter 16, thank you, on a missions-related Sunday, you'll probably think we're going to a particular verse that you're familiar with, and you should be, but we're actually going to look at a couple verses further down. So Mark chapter 16, we'll see how the Gospel of Mark is closed out. And this verse, I'm not getting into preaching right now. This is actually part of our presentation, just a heads up, just so you know what's going on. This verse has really been the verse that God used to just so stir my heart and my wife's heart towards missions, and a verse that God has so directed in our lives to give us a seriousness that needs to be had, that we all ought to have when we think about God's direction for our lives. Look at, you know verse 15. I'll read it for, so you, if you're not there, you know what we're talking about. Verse 15 says, "And he, Jesus, their authority, God in the flesh, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You ought to know that verse if you're a Christian tonight. That is Jesus' direction, marching orders, where he has turned you and set you loose on. That's his direction for his people, for the church. But if I can draw your attention to verses 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20 read this way, and this is how the Gospel of Mark concludes. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven." This is the first, this is the ascension, "and sat on the right hand of God." Look what happens in verse 20. The people that God said to go, this is what they did. This is their testimony. This is the commentary on their life in verse 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. What was the direction? What was the newfounded purpose, you could say, for those who walked with Jesus, who were called of Jesus, who were born again, who were God's children? What was the new direction of their life after Jesus said, go? Well, the new direction was that they were to go. And what did they do after Jesus had ascended? They went. And what did they do when they went? They went forth and they preached. Where did they preach? Everywhere. Why? Because their Lord and Savior told them to. You see, it's really as simple as that. Whatever direction you thought your life ought to be going or wanted your life to be going before God rescued you, and he did that. He rescued you. He didn't just give you a plan B, an alternative. He rescued you, pulled you out of the mire, okay? Whatever plan you or direction you thought your life was to go, after God's rescued you, he said, hey, there's a new path. There's a better path. There's a very specific path, and that's to be a team player on getting the gospel everywhere. That's here, that's your state broadly, that's your country, that's the world. And he says as much in verses prior when he says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You don't have to name your ministry for it to be biblical, but we thought we'd take this verse in verse 20 and call our ministry Project Everywhere. And God has called us to the Solomon Islands. If I could get that next slide, please. God has called us to the Solomon Islands, and I'll have a map in just a moment where that is. Some of you might be familiar with that, and you might say, okay, I've heard of the Solomon Islands. You may have heard of Guadalcanal, and that is the main island. If you go back just one more slide, please. Just want to give you kind of step through of why in the world the Solomon Islands and how God led us to that. Several years ago, or just getting more than several years ago, it's probably more like 5 or 6 years ago, I was a single man. I had graduated college, and even some of this ministry started while I was in college. God was opening up doors quite literally all around the world to help various missionaries and various gospel works all around the world. And that varied from South India to in Bangalore and Trivandrum to North India in Jaipur and Rajasthan and in Madagascar and Antananarivo and Antananamavu. And some of these are names, and I get that, but these are different places that God opened up ministry to, and as well as in the Pacific. And one of these places was the Solomon Islands. I just went there to help out a friend, another church planner there. He had some medical issues come up in his family, and he just needed someone. He didn't really know me all that well. He knew of me as far as just that we went to the same school together, but it was kind of really out of necessity, so there wasn't much selection. I was kind of his only shot, and so he had to come off the field rather abruptly, and he had since come back on. But during that time, God really made a way and opened up a door for me to spend a little over a month there in the Solomons, and I just went there to fill a spot. It wasn't a survey trip, wasn't anything like that. This was about 2018. And so going there, spent about a month there. It was one of those situations. I arrived, he was there. He said, thank you for coming. Goodbye. Here's the keys to the house. Don't eat this food. Buy food from this market. And this is the pretty much the only other islander I know that speaks English. If you need help, goodbye. And it was very much like that. And God gave me a lot of grace during that time. And I remember as I was leaving the Solomon Islands in 2018, thinking to myself, I don't know exactly to what capacity, but I feel as though the Lord would have us, or have me at the time, do more ministry there. Fast forward a little bit, about a year later, I married my wife, Melody. And we began praying, God, where would you have us? Where would you send us? And, you know, would you give us clear direction in that? And as we were praying that way, the Lord pretty clearly in our hearts moved us to the Solomon Islands. And it started with just really an inclination of us thinking, is that where God would have us? And us having a surrendered heart to that. And then us presenting that to our pastor and our church. And then praying about that. And then believing and conferring really with what we thought that God would have us go there. So they became our sending church. That's Tri-State Bible Baptist Church. About 2.5 years ago, they sent us. And we've been on deputation since. We were at 30% support a couple months ago, and God really blessed the last couple months, and we're a little over 60%, which is just awesome. We're looking at the fall of 2023 to be in the Solomons. During that time in preparation, my wife has been pursuing or going back to school, and she's getting her nursing degree. She'll graduate with an LPN. I always get there's a lot of letters in nursing degrees and stuff. So I always, you know, on the spot at the pulpit, I'm like, is an RN, LPN, LNA? Anyway, so she'll be graduating with her LPN this December, and she'll be taking an NCLEX test of sorts in January. And Lord will, the idea with that, not only is the medical there lacking, but we want to be able to communicate to the community that God puts us in, that we are there to give and to help. And yes, their greatest need is to be born again. Their greatest need above any physical need is that they know Christ as their personal Savior. I think we'd all agree with that. But it's a biblical model to help people in their physical needs as well. And we want to prepare as much as we can to do that. So she'll be, our intention now is that she'll be able to volunteer to some capacity in a clinic on the island that we'll be ministering at. And I'll show a picture of that in just a moment. If you give me the next slide, you might be asking yourself, where in the world is the Solomon Islands? Well, indicated by the giant red arrow is the Solomon Islands there. It's northeast. That was a little bit of a joke, but like three people laughed. That's okay. That's all right. Northeast of Australia. It's in the Southwest Pacific, and it's east of Papua New Guinea. But for those of you who still don't know where it's at, it's where that arrow is pointing to. There are just under 1,000 islands in the Solomons, and about a third of those are populated. So that leaves several hundred islands that have people on them that have had communities and villages there for really hundreds and hundreds of years. And I'll point to in the next slide, go ahead and give me that one up there, the specific island that God, we believe God would have us start our ministry in. So I don't have a clicker, so this might be a little more difficult. The green island on the right, I know that might mean nothing to us from the distance. I'm not sure how well that can be made out. I would try to run up and point to it, but that'd be embarrassing for me. There's an island called Malaita, a little bit hard to see on that map there. There's an island called Malaita, which is just northeast of the main island of Guadalcanal, that we believe God has led us to start a ministry there. And by starting a ministry, I mean we intend on, when we get there, to right away begin a church plant. I'll have some more specifics as far as, you know, say we were there tomorrow, what would we do? But the island that I did work on was Guadalcanal, and we really were open to wherever God would send us, whether it was somewhere in Guadalcanal, which is the second most populated island there, Guadalcanal, that is. The number one is Malaita. Guadalcanal is the capital, however. And we were just really willing wherever God would send us, and we just were very impressed that the Lord. We believe the Lord really impressed upon our heart to start a work in Malaita there. And the Malaitan people are a very sweet people. It's a very positive thing. Us, you know, some people ask, how do you think you'll be received as Americans going over there? And there's a very positive view of Americans over there. And so we praise the Lord for that we don't foresee danger, and obviously things like that can come up. But we're grateful for a nation that God's called us to that are excited for us to come and view that positively. If we were Australian or Chinese, that actually might be viewed differently. It's a unique situation going on right now in the Solomons. You may have seen it in the news come up. Just in the last several months, there's been a number of things going on where China is trying to put a military base there. and that is somewhat in a response to an agreement that America signed with Japan and Australia and I believe New Zealand about 6 months or so, maybe a little bit further ago, to bulk up the Australian Navy. And so there's a lot of things going on in that part of the world that we do covet your prayers towards, but we're grateful for, as far as the people that we believe God's called us to minister to, that it being a positive thing for us to be there. If you give me the next slide, please. So just a little bit of our plan. You say, what happens if you get to the Solomon Islands tomorrow? What are you going to do? And I want to kind of break down and really give some, in some ways, some commitments, in some ways, some ideas of what we intend on doing, you know, right when we start there. Next slide, please. So initially, that looks really small from my view. I'll read it for you. Initially, when we get there, we'll be on the main island of Guadalcanal for about 6 months, and that's a preparation time. I'm conversational with the language, and I'll mention some of that in a moment, but my wife needs to learn the language. It's a pidgin language, and it draws heavily from English, so if you're familiar with their primary language, if you're familiar with other pidgin languages, they can vary on how much they might draw from another more mainstream language. And so my time there, as well as communication with that missionary on the main island of Guadalcanal, I've been working on being more fluent with that, but there's really nothing to increase your fluency that is as good as being there. And for those of you who maybe are bilingual or trilingual, you could probably attest to that if you are among people you're trying to learn the language in, it comes much more easier. And so we're doing the work that we can now before we get there in preparation, but that first 6 months is really going to be a push for the language. As well as the written aspect. So I'll just mention a little bit of Solomon Island pidgin that I know, and you'll kind of hear some English words in it. Lo name blomi hem Colton, lo missis blomi hem Melody, mi garum baby hem name Douglas, mi fala, lo family blomi, hem garum plan, go lo place blo name Solomon, and hem stardom church, hem preachum lo gospel for lo glory blo God. So here's some English words in there, and there's a lot of English that is drawn from there. Or maybe you didn't hear any English words in there, and you're like, "That are we speaking in tongues this service? Are we that kind of a church?" No. But anyhow, I can assure you it's an intelligent language there. So our plan, though, is to work with those missionaries that I took their place for briefly for about 6 months there, and that'll be probably a little bit less. And in that time, we'll be taking trips to Malaita and trying to get things set up where we'll live, where the church will meet, so that when we do go to Malaita, we'll be able to, the first week, be able to start a Sunday service. If you give me the next slide, please. And we intend on starting a Sunday service right as we get to Malaita, so that this slide talks about us spending really 5 days out of the week to try to go out into the communities, into the villages, and pass out gospel tracts and New Testament literature, as well as invite people to our church service with the goal of, yes, if they come to our church service, that's wonderful, but with the goal of really trying to be invited into their village to give Bible studies and work with people one-on-one. A lot of the methodology that I'm being influenced by is from the missionary that is on Guadalcanal and some of the do's and don'ts that he has been able to give me some of his wisdom in that I'm very grateful for. So some of it models after that, in case you're curious, where am I getting this from? Excuse me, I don't have that thing that was going around a couple years ago, but it's allergies, I promise. If you give me the next slide. So not only 5 days out of the week are we intending on going out, giving gospel literature out and gospel tracts and inviting people for this for a Bible study, but we intend on, for the first Sunday there, starting a place to meet. And I think that's important that when we talk with people, that there's a place that we can say, hey, we're going to meet there each week. We'll be there. You don't have to worry if we'll be there. We will be there, and that's where we'll be meeting each week. So I think that's important to start, and that'll be pre-charter, Lord willing, as we have a group of people that are born again, baptized, and understand the doctrine that is necessary. We intend on really having our home church or our home pastor come out and be a part of a chartering service. We're not sure if we'll call it Alki Baptist Church or maybe First Baptist Church of Alki. We're not sure, but we'll trust the Lord in that. Next slide, please. A new development in the Solomons in 2019. A cable was laid from Australia, all the way from Australia to the Solomon Islands, which is pretty far. That allows them to have high-speed internet. Now, when I went there in 2018, they had some degree of internet. But it wasn't as good as it's getting now, or the capabilities now. So we intend on having some type of presence online. Just imagine how the internet has affected your life and my life in the last several decades. And so in many ways, the island nation in the Solomons is being influenced by that. So we want to, in some capacity, have a means of outreach on that. Next slide, please. I mentioned about a third of the islands are populated, and that's 347. And the majority of those, the people, are on about a dozen or so islands. And the island that we'll be at is the most populated, that being Malaita. And there's about 700,000 people there. Excuse me, I'm going to take a Ricola. I think you'll all appreciate it. Don't, you know, hold it against me now. So just, if you came and visit us, and I encourage you to do so, that it wouldn't feel like there's 700,000 people there. And that might just be part of island culture and the makeup of an island there. But it when you, especially when you go to Malaita, excuse me, the island that we're at, you'll notice that it feels very, in some ways, primitive. And there's a large spectrum in the Solomon Islands of being having modern amenities. And you'll see that because different nations will go in and build a resort there. And we'll have, you know, this is an awkward time for this to happen, isn't it? Just the worst time. You know, I was sitting down there thinking, oh, it's not going to happen. Here we are. Anyhow, I appreciate your graciousness in that. But if you came and visited us sometime, you'll see this really big spectrum of poverty and foreign wealth. And that's an interesting thing that you'll see around the world. And it's no different in the Solomons. Big industries are fishing and mahogany export and a number of other things. But you'll see this broad spectrum. So we intend on trying to be very modest in how we go about choosing living and all those different considerations, because the vast majority of the people in the Solomons would be very much so in a poverty class. Now, there's not everyone. I don't mean to mispaint the people of the Solomon Islands there, but you'll see that in a very broad way, that there's a lot of, well, there's a considerable amount of poverty. And so they have received a lot of handouts, probably a better way to put that, financial aid from other countries that in some ways enables that. And we want to be careful with that, but at the same time, we do want to be considerate of people's needs there. Can I get the next slide, please? The common language that I mentioned already is pigeon. A number of times when I've mentioned pigeon, you know, some people chuckle thinking of the bird. I can encourage you, though, it is different. Their pigeon is really just a simple or a basic language. And in theirs, excuse me, in theirs, about half of the vocabulary is English. So imagine going to learn, imagine God calling you to a country and you thinking to yourself, oh no, I have to learn another language, which is usually a fear in the top, I don't know, top four or five, understandably so. If you've ever been in a culture where you didn't speak any of their language, it can be kind of uncomfortable, to say the least. And so we're grateful that so much of their language has building blocks that is a part of our language. So we've seen how God's opened up doors through that. And of course, just an idea, it might mean something to some of us, maybe some or not to others, but the people there are Melanesian as far as descendants, their ethnicity would go. Can you give me the next slide? These are some pictures of some born-again friends in the Solomon Islands that are a part of that ministry on Guadalcanal. And I took their picture let them know that, you know, I'm be presenting this work in the States, so they're aware of their face being on a slide presentation. This is Salwin. Salwin's a born-again man. Something unique about Salwin, he's from the island of Malaita. And not everyone in Malaita, but a common practice that takes place in Malaita is at a baby's dedication. Of course, this wouldn't be everyone, but this would certainly be some who are more dedicated to tribal paganism, which we might want to distance ourselves from. Just being in America, being far from it, we might think that is something of several hundred years past. But Salwin, you might be able to see on his face, he has different markings on his cheek and on his forehead, and that is from his parents tattooing his face when he was a newborn in dedication to a pagan deity. And again, we might think, that is something of hundreds of years past, that's something of millennia ago. Oh, but that's not the case. There are really, outside of Christianity, humanity reverts back to paganism. Okay, paganism is worshiping creation over the creator. And outside of God's intervention in Christianity, humanity, whether it's humanism, secular humanism, humanity goes back to worshiping creation, not the creator. Whether it's in a Western world, we see how that fits in a Western world. We see how it fits in a non-Westernized culture. And very much so in the Solomons, where Christianity has not had influence, There's still many of these root practices. And Solomon Islands, very broadly speaking, considers himself a Christian nation. The vast majority of that, from what I've seen and from other people that are more familiar with the islands, is Catholic. And there's a lot of blurred lines in the Solomons. There's been a lot of abuses in times past abuses by different Christian leaders, and I use that word Christian broadly, and I'll explain a little bit of what I mean. They will have pretty regularly kind of these faith healers that will come over, and they'll fill up rugby stadiums with people, and people will get healed of different, healed of sorts, and like the Kenneth Copeland's type, like the Joel Osteen types, and during those meetings, there's a blurring of lines between Catholic and broadly Protestant groups and Seventh-day Adventist. So there's a lot of confusion as far as what true New Testament Christianity is. Could you give me the next slide? This is a friend of mine named Joseph. Joseph's testimony would really attest to the confusion that is in the Solomon Islands in many ways. Joseph, the way he's from Guadalcanal, and the way that he described it was they grew up knowing Bible stories, but it was just knowing the Bible stories. And when it wasn't until an American missionary came, and I'm not trying to romanticize American missionaries, but someone with the Bible came and taught him from the scripture how to be born again and what all of it meant. And he said it went very much so from just understanding the stories to then having a personal relationship with Jesus. And that is so much what it's all about. The devil does a wonderful job at getting people close to the gospel, but not allowing them to understand the gospel. Now, I really believe one of the greatest tools the devil will permit is allowing people to believe that they're Christians, allowing them to practice some degree of religious devotion, but yet being far, far, far from the God of the Bible and far from having a relationship with him. So there's a lot of situations like that in the Solomons and certainly as well as in Malaita. Could you give me the next slide? Again, we're so thankful for you guys having us here. And considering supporting us and having that be a consideration of yours. This whole process of debutation is really where we travel around to different churches of like faith, different independent Baptist churches, and we say, this is what we believe God has called us to do. Consider partnering with us. So we thank you so much for this time. My time is spent, Pastor. Would you like me to turn it over to you? Or, all right, let's do that. There you go. I'm going to take this with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. To you, we had to pay for it, but you're welcome. I just want to wrap it up with a couple of things. We're going to have Brother Lee preach to us, but our service got a little bit away from us. I want to share just a couple of things from the scripture. It won't be a message necessarily, but I want you to look back at the passage near where I was at this morning, but the verses prior to us. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. I want to speak specifically just some things that the Lord impressed on me while Colton was up here. Because why would a young guy, how old are you? 25. Why would a young guy take his wife and little baby away from the conveniences of America and to some people he doesn't know, he doesn't love yet, unless except for what the Lord has put in his heart to love them, and leave family, leave all that he's known to go somewhere? Well, it obviously has to be a higher calling, because you can't just watch, it has to be a higher calling than just getting emotional about some pictures or some video footage and decide, well, that'd be a neat thing to do. You don't go to the mission field because it's a neato thing to do. You don't go to the mission field because you got some tears in your eyes when a missionary came and brought a great presentation. Our friend, Dr. Charles Keene, said, if we get people to surrender to the mission field because of a emotional presentation, then it won't last. The only way it lasts is if they're going because of Jesus Christ's work in their heart, because emotions flee from you and they fall away. But why would Colton do this? And I want to look, and I trust that the Lord is in this. So look at verse number 10 of Philippians 4. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you also were careful. There were some times there it wasn't as flourishing, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I ever speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know that I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. I want to draw three fairly quick points out of that. And if you saw my notes, you'd be scared because there's not much here. But I want you to see, first of all, the care of the church in verse number 10. He was speaking again to the church of Philippi. We looked at that this morning if you were in here. And we see that the care of the church. And that's where we get the opportunity to come in. We've got a hall full of missionaries that, to some small degree, we're not the only ones. We don't support them in entirety. Others come alongside, and I think that's a very good model because that way many people have the blessings of being a part of it. Then it also, though, is a safety measure that if one has an issue and then they're not able to, and thank God that that hasn't happened to us, but a church isn't able to send their support, then they've got some others to help even out the load. But I'm looking at the care of the church. The apostle was saying to them, you were careful, but you lacked opportunity at the end of the verse, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that your care of me hath flourished again. But I see not only the care of the church, they were involved in sending out the need to them, but I see the contentment that's in the missionary in verse number 11. He said, I'm not saying this because I want more stuff from you. You know, the average kid in America, whenever they come to Christmas time, you know that they look and they open up that package and they just fling it open. Don't you love to watch a kid open up a present instead of an established mature lady? I was going to say old lady, but we don't want to get into that. You know, the Bible talks about the aged women. You know, I'm a wise pastor. I have never called a lady, well, you must be one of those aged ones, the lady that the Bible was talking about. I don't get into that. But have you ever watched kids, how they just fling it open? They fling the paper everywhere as if there's a reward, how much they can spread it. And a lady's very dainty, and oftentimes she'll just rip it on the corner like she's saving the paper for something. You want to say, don't save it, just rip it open. But when you see that kid open up the present, what's he want after that present's open? What's next? Where's the next one? And maybe we've spoiled ourselves, but the Apostle Paul was not like that. Not that I speak in respect of want. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My pastor for some time was Larry Brown in Washington, Iowa. And there was a season in the region there in Iowa that the Christian school, which was about 30 miles from us that we helped out with, was really going through a hard time. Back in the 70s, and they were talking about jailing some of the people who were involved in that. This was long ago. Christian education has much more free reign now than it did back then. They were talking about jailing some people that were having the audacity to pull the kids out and put them in an unsanctioned school. And Lester Roloff, who was known for controversy and known for a lot of different struggles with the states, came in. And my pastor at that point, I didn't know him back in the day of the 70s, but he was all worried. He said, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to do this, because he was going to stand for them. And I love what Lester Roloff told him. He looked at him and he said to Larry Brad, said, Larry, better people than you have gone to jail. Suck it up. You need to learn to whatsoever state you're in there with to be content. I'm looking at the contentment of this missionary, the Apostle Paul. But I want to leave you with this last thing, and that is verse number 13. The courage that Colton Lee can have, and Melody and their little one, the courage that they can have and the courage that the Apostle Paul had was found in verse number 13, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. You find out, and they found out, you find out what the Lord has ordered. As one old preacher put it, what the Lord orders, He pays for. And you as a family, sometimes people say, well, how can you afford to have kids? Or how can you afford to do this? Or how can you afford to get married? And how can you afford this? If the Lord's in something, and you're sure He is, then the Lord certainly will show the way from where you are to where you can have the fulfillment of following the Lord's will. So why would they take his wife and baby and go to where they don't know many folks or anybody, hardly? Because of Jesus Christ. The care of the church, we get the opportunity to give. And I like to do it a little bit different. Bobby, do you mind coming on up here? Why don't you come on up? We'll give the invitation here in just a little bit, but I just feel led to do it this way. Bobby is the chairman of our deacons, and usually our secretary of the deacons would come up. And we have a church business meeting. And we'll give the invitation in just a moment. But I love to just follow through with this act while we're on the subject. And I met with the deacons briefly before the church service, and I want Bobby to come and tell you what we had decided to do.
The pastor and deacons recommend that we support Colton and Melody Lee, missionaries to the Solomon Islands, with $1,300 per year from the Mission Fund. That's $100 per month, and we give them a Christmas bonus, and I make that a motion.
I want Bobby to come up because I want you to know that when we see these things in the Scripture, these are not just some abstract thing, abstract teachings that we want to learn about. I don't want to learn only about this book. I don't want to be a hearer. I want to be a doer. And so I want us as a church to be involved in, just like the Apostle Paul told those people at Philippi, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord that at the last your care of me had flourished again. And Colton and Melody are heading out for as soon as the service is over to Vermont. And they're going to drive tonight. They won't be over to our fellowship afterwards. They're going to drive on. But I want them to know as they're going that they have a church that, even though we're quickly getting up to speed about them, that that our care for them hath flourished tonight. So, you heard the recommendation. That was me recommend the deacons. The deacons now, along with me, we recommend it to you. So we have a motion on the floor that our church, well, here's how we do it. You know, we support them $100 a month, and then one extra payment at Christmas time, just to help out with some expenses or Christmas presents or whatnot. And we would like to adopt them into our mission family. So we have a motion. Anybody like to second it? All right, Brother Larry Stover, we'll second that. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
All opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. And so we would need a motion because we have an invitation here in just a moment. We'd need a motion, though, before we do that to, right, we don't have anything else, to adjourn the business meeting. Jordan Smith makes that motion to adjourn the business meeting. I'm just going to start looking for people. Marty Scroggs makes the second of the motion. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Well, what I'd like for you to do is some of you to come here in our invitation time and pray for our newest missionary, Colton and Melody Lee, and ask the Lord to bless them, continue to lead, guide, and direct them as they are launching out to the Solomon Islands. They've got still another year now to raise support. We've got to pray this extra 40% in. We need to pray that God would protect them as they travel, keep them alert tonight, keep them alive, keep them awake, and keep them on their way and make their vehicle run good. But we need to get their prayer cards on their back table. And we need to let our care for them flourish. And may we be a church that stands behind our missionaries. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're a believer, you're not sure that you're somebody who knows for certain you're on your way to heaven, the reason they're going to the Solomon Islands is to preach and to teach and to proclaim to a group of people that there's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. That everybody's a sinner. That'll be the message, as he's already mentioned, that everybody's a sinner. There's many of them that have the form of godliness. There's many of them that have Christian teachings, and they are Christian as far as on the outside, what the world would call, well, they believe all that stuff up here, but they'll let the Holy Spirit of God work down in the lives of those people, because there will be many of them, although they hold to some Christian teachings, they're themselves not a believer personally, born again in Jesus Christ, not a believer in Him as the Savior of their soul. And so perhaps you're here tonight, and you would say, what they're going to the Solomon Islands to do is what I need to do. Or what they're going to tell is what I needed to hear, and that is that I needed to hear about Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ. You can do that up here. You can do it right there in your seat. You may know as much of the gospel as I do. You just know that you need to receive Christ as your Savior. But if you need somebody to pray with you, then we'd certainly be interested in doing that. So would you mind standing together? We're going to ask the instrumentalist to come and play something on the piano and the organ, and this will be our invitation. And I want some of you, if you would, to come pray for the Lees as they leave, and ask God's blessings to be upon them. If you just slip on up to the platform and pray here at the altar. But then if you need something that God's put something on your heart you need to pray about, I want you to come. Brother Daniel, he slipped in from the church service he preached at. Why don't you come on up this way? If you need somebody to help you, you're not sure that you're saved, would you slip out and come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be sure about that. Whatever your need is, as they play, would you come? Colton and Melody Lee, may many of us lift up their names right now. Lord, bless them. Lord, protect them. Lord, provide for them. Lord, give that baby of theirs health and well-being. Lord, keep them alert tonight. Make that vehicle run well. Keep those tires safe. Lord, let them get back home again safe for their duties tomorrow. Let's let our care flourish. And if you have some spiritual need on your heart, would you come? Well, it's a joy to have the Lees with us. And what I'm going to do is thank you, Brother Lee. We're glad to have you part of our mission family, and we're so glad for you and Melody being our guests today. I'm going to ask you to slip back. We won't keep you long. Now, they won't be able to come over to the fellowship. We have a Taste of Nations over in the Family Life Center. I think the waffles are all the way from Belgium. That's what I hear. Now, I think I saw some that looked remarkably like them at the freezer section at Food City, but I couldn't be sure, so they tell me they're from Belgium. Is that right, Brother Dan? Something like that. Something like that. We don't want to commit too hard. So, well, we've got a lot that's happened. It's a little later than we normally are here, but thank you for being in church. And what part could we have cut out? It's just a lot that came together. I want you to challenge you to see Leslie Farmer or Amy, my wife, about these books, ladies, and $10, I think, come up with that Bible study. Oh, I so much encourage you to be a part of that, and I know it'll be a great blessing to you, and you'll look forward to that, I'm sure. And I want to thank you for being here. Brother Bobby's going to come. He's got one more announcement. This is not official as a business meeting, but he's got something he wants to share with us.
Tonight, Kim Barnett will be on one side. Hannah Barnett will be on the other side. A few weeks ago, Pastor asked the ladies if you would sign up for some nursery help. And thank you so much for those who did. We still need a little more help, and what we've done is we have created a card for you to take tonight, and it tells you exactly where we need it. We need it at 11 o'clock, mainly on Sunday morning, and if you can help us out till about May or so of next year, that would be an incredible help. The nursery is bursting, which we love to hear. We're getting ready to take a wall out and give them some room to take care of more kids with fewer people. But we definitely need your help. And on that list tonight, on that card tonight, you will see Angela Davis's information. And so if you will, you can either sign up on the list or text her or call her and say, hey, I would be willing to help. Here's what we need. We need either the folks to work on a regular basis, once a month, twice a month, whatever you're comfortable doing, or we need those alternates that when we're bursting on Sunday morning and Brother Russell or Mr. Rourke comes by and they tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, we need you. Just be willing to do that. So that's all we have.
Amen. And ladies, we're certainly thankful for you taking up the need for that. Need to be a member, and then we get a background check. And so we'll certainly be glad, and we'll take care of all those things. But we're certainly glad to have you help. Along with that, in the Berean room, Brother Bobby and Kyle will meet with all teachers, kindergarten through fifth grade, right? And the Berean room, the blue room, and that's Sunday school and children's church in that age, kindergarten through fifth grade, and some exciting things in regards to what's going on upstairs. And so, as I mentioned already, we tried to pack as much in tonight as we could, and it kept you a little longer. I don't like to do that. Brother Dan, what instructions do we need for over there? Nothing? Just go over our Taste of Nations and go over and spend some time fellowshipping in the Family Life Center, and slip by and get a prayer card from the Lees before you go, and maybe you can be a blessing to them your own self, and maybe you've got something you'd like to be a blessing to them for the rest of their trip, but you do what the Lord leads you to. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hey. Thank you.